I hope that's true for you tonight, that Jesus is everything. He sure is everything to us, whether we realize it or not. Numbers chapter 11 tonight. We'll start things off here. Numbers chapter 11. I'm sure that some of you maybe felt like you were sold a bill of goods when you seen me come up here and Brother Dwayne Moore out of town. So I apologize for that. But, you know, I really asked God to help us. And I believe as long as we hear God's word tonight, I realize that God has servants that he's used, and certainly God's used Brother Moore in a great capacity. But we just want to preach God's word and let God use his word to challenge, change, and revive our hearts. And so I appreciate your prayers for my family in the days to come and in the days past. I'll be leaving after church tonight, so I'd appreciate your prayers as I travel to go to the funeral. My wife's grandfather tomorrow will be back here, the Lord willing, on Wednesday night. And so my plans initially were to leave after work today, and we found out Brother Moore would not be able to be with us, and Pastor had asked us to assistant pastors to each share about 15 minutes. And Sunday morning, when I was getting ready for church, God laid this message upon my heart, and so I believe it's for somebody, and it's been very heavy upon my heart the past couple of days. And you know, I was rehearsing some things in my living room before I came here. I believe I'll be about 10 minutes. If God gets in it, maybe we'll be 15. Amen. So Numbers chapter number 11, we'll begin reading in verse number 4 for the sake of time, down through verse number 6. Numbers 11, verse number 4. Bible says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. God, I pray that you would open the truth of your word to our heart. Open our eyes. Help us to see the truth. And God, I pray that you'd remove every hindrance. Be upon our mind, Lord. We realize that there's many things going on in lives today. And I pray that you'd help us for the next few minutes to focus upon what thus saith the Scripture. God, I pray that you would accomplish your will in hearts and lives in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know the context of the book of Numbers. We have the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. God had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. It's a picture of our redemption. It's a picture of salvation as they were delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt. God led them through the Red Sea. They came across on dry ground, and God met with Moses there on Mount Sinai. And here in chapter 11, we're about 3 days removed from God giving Moses those commandments and the instructions for the tabernacle there on Sinai. And we know that God's will for this people was not just to bring them out of Egypt, but to bring them into a land of promise. And I want to remind you tonight that God's will for our lives is not just to save us and to take us to heaven. God wants to save you, and he wants you to experience victory in Jesus Christ. He wants you to experience the truth of the song that we heard tonight, that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, he's everything. Amen. It's not just a story. It's not just someone we talk about. It's not just someone that we know about in history, and it's reality. Jesus Christ wants to be everything to us. And so as he's leading them through the wilderness, we know that he's provided them with manna. He's provided them with quail in the evening, manna in the morning. And God provided them. He provided a table in the wilderness. But God's will for them was to eventually to make it over the River Jordan into the promised land. And over in the book of Numbers, we find this story that's going on here in chapter 11, the children of Israel, they're complaining, they're murmuring because they don't feel like God is meeting their needs. The Bible says there in chapter 11, verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." Now, listen, I believe that the wilderness wanderings were not an easy task, and God never promised us that life would be easy. God, matter of fact, he told us if we would live godly in Christ Jesus, there would be persecution. And so God never promised us a smooth path. He never promised us that there would be not be any trouble. But he did promise to be with us every step of the way. He did promise to meet our needs. And so we can find ourselves, if we're not careful, where the children of Israel found themselves here in chapter number 11, where the manna, the bread that God was dropping down out of the sky every day, it became mundane. And so I want to preach for just a few minutes on mundane manna. Just humdrum, just something that was supposed to be a miracle from God. And we know in the Bible that manna is a picture, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how manna is a picture of the Word of God. And these things are miraculous to us. They should mean everything in the world to us. They should bring enthusiasm and excitement into our life. But if we're not careful, we'll begin to look at manna like the children of Israel did here in verse number 6, where they said, our soul is dried away. And then they said, and there is nothing at all beside this manna. They wanted something else. They didn't feel like that the manna was enough. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves thinking, well, you know what? I've got Jesus, I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got the Word of God, I've got a local church, I've got a pastor, I've got a good family. Yeah, but I'm missing out. There's some things that the devil will try to tell us that you're missing out on. The Bible says that, verse number 4, this mixed multitude that was among the children of Israel, they fell a-lusting. They began to murmur. They influenced the children of Israel. This mixed multitude, I believe, is still in existence today. The devil makes sure that he always puts this crowd, this religious crowd, around the true people of God to try to get the true people of God discontent with the things that he's given us. Can I just simply say, listen, what else could we ask for? We've got the preserved Word of God that's able to save our soul, that's able to help us to grow. We've got a resurrected Savior. Listen, a God that came down to where we were, shed His life's blood, and conquered death 3 days later, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. What more do you want? What more is there to go back to? And so this mixed multitude said, well, you know what? We're missing out on Egypt. We're missing out on the food, the melons, the cucumbers, the onions, the garlic. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same situation. And the devil will tell us, boy, you sure did used to have a lot of fun before you got saved. You used to be able to enjoy life before you joined that church crowd. And if we're not careful, the devil will tempt us to go back to the life that we once lived before we got saved. We'll forget about the chains. We'll forget about the shackles. We'll forget about the misery. We'll forget about the consequences of our sin. And all he'll have us thinking about is the pleasure that was fleeting. The pleasure of sin that lasted for a season. Numbers 11 is in the Bible. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10. We'll not turn there for the sake of time. But the Bible tells us that these things were written for our admonition. God recorded, he could have recorded anything he wanted to in the Bible, but he recorded this story and these wilderness wanderings to be an example to us. And the times when the children of Israel were complaining is specifically what the writer, what the Apostle Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 10 when he says, these things were written for our examples, for our admonition, so that you would not be tempted to go back to the life that you once lived before you got saved, so that you wouldn't be not tempted to lust, so that you would not be tempted to put idols between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, you say, well, Brother Brandon, you know what? I don't have a problem with that. Well, it's very interesting, and if we were to turn there, you could find in 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Say, you know what, Brother Brandon, I really don't think I had this problem in Numbers 11 where in verse number 6, they're kind of despising the manna. You say, Brother Brandon, you know what? I love church. I'm here. Did you realize you could go through the motions tonight? I'm glad I'm in church. I'm glad you're in church. But I think there's a lot of people playing church tonight. There's a lot of people playing revival meeting. There's a lot of people playing Christianity. And you can go through all the motions. You can check off all the boxes. But can I ask you, what's your relationship like with the Word of God? What's your relationship like with the manna? I thought about this as Brother Dwayne Moore opened up to Psalm 23 on Sunday morning. I wonder what our initial reaction was when a man of God got up here and opened up a passage that was so familiar to us. Was it, oh boy, I can't wait to see what God has for us today? Or was it, yeah, well, we've kind of heard that before. Right? Now listen, the goal here tonight is we got to be honest with ourselves. I told the pastor when I got here, I don't have a revival camp meeting style message. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much revival we're going to experience until we just get real with God tonight. Until we take an honest look at our heart and we say, you know what, if I'm honest, I've lost something. I've lost some enthusiasm, the excitement that I used to have to study and to read the Word of God and to serve God. It's waning. It's not what it used to be. I can imagine as the children of Israel, there's probably a point in time in their life when that manna would fall down from heaven and they were amazed at the miraculous provision of God. They were filled with wonder and amazement that God would drop down manna from heaven, and now they find themselves at the place where they're just like, oh yeah, it's that manna again. Right. Can you remember a time in your life when you couldn't wait to see what truth the Word of God had for you in your life? You couldn't wait to get to the house of God to see what the man of God was going to share with you from the bread of life, from the man of God, the Word of God. Can you remember a time in your life when you were hungry for the things of God and excited to be in church? When you came into church and people could just see the countenance of your face, there was a joy that could not be changed with the circumstances. There was a peace that was deep and settled and real in your life. You say, well, Brother Brandon, I can't even remember a time like that in my life. You may want to check up and find out if you're saved. I mean, the Bible says if you're a newborn babe, you're going to desire the sincere milk of the Word. There ought to have been a desire for the Word of God at some point in your life. Amen. Now, here's what I want to ask you to consider tonight. Tonight, where you are you more excited about the Word of God than you've ever been in your life? Because if not, there's you're on the wrong path. And it could be a number of reasons why. Now, for the children of Israel, there was a mixed multitude in the picture. There were people in their life that were influencing them and trying to make them think that they were missing out by being a Christian. And there's people that'll make you think, they'll try to convince you that if you go all in for Jesus, you're really going to miss out in life. You're going to miss out on the fun. You're going to miss out on the joy. You're going to miss out on the good times. Can I tell you, the Christian life to me, it's been the best life and the most fun I've ever had in my life. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Listen, I'm not above this, and I want to take the admonition of 1 Corinthians 10. I don't want to think that I'm somebody I'm not, and I realize that I could fall tomorrow, but Jesus has been good to me. I'm thankful. I'm excited for the manna of the Word of God, but I realize that I hadn't always been there, and you might not be there tonight. But I'm thankful for the manna of the Word of God. So, the message tonight is, don't let the manna become mundane. Don't let the Word of God, the truth of God's Word that's able to change your life, change your family. Don't let the miraculous things of the Christian life and the Word of God become mundane to you. I mean, no matter what it takes, don't let the devil make the things of God just a drag to you. I'll be honest with you. When we look upon Christianity as a whole today, now I'm just grouping us all together as a whole. I'm grieved. I'm grieved because, man, where's our joy? Right? Man, where's our enthusiasm? Where's our excitement? Jesus is coming back at any moment. We could see Him. We could meet Him face to face tonight. Ought to be something that should excite us, amen. And I'll be honest with you, there are just so many things. My prayer was when COVID hit, that maybe God would use that to bring revival. And I'll be honest with you, I still believe that He can. But you know what? One thing I've seen is more people have got distracted. And more people have thought about what might happen and have got their eyes on politics and got their eyes on COVID and got their eyes off of Jesus and the goodness of God and the manna that He's given us. Amen. And we're just like, oh yeah, that church thing, I guess we'll go do that again. Because that's just what we do. And inside, your soul is like the children of Israel, in verse number 6, our soul, you say our soul is dried away. And yeah, we got this manna, but God, we're kind of missing out. We want something else. What else can you offer us? And that's why the churches today are bringing in the entertainment and bringing in the smoke and bringing in the lights. And I mean, they're just trying to put a smile on people's face. Trying to cater to the flesh. Can I tell you, if the manna ain't going to do it for you, nothing is. God's answer for Israel is, no, manna's what you're getting. Manna's what we got to offer. And I'm sure when people come around here and they ask the pastor, well, pastor, what do you have? What does Fellowship Baptist Church have to offer? our family, we got manna.
Amen.
What does Fellowship Baptist Church have to offer my children? We got manna.
Amen.
What does Fellowship Baptist Church have to offer the elderly? We got manna. That's what we got. There's nothing else.
Amen.
There's nothing better to offer.
Amen.
We got manna. We got Jesus.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
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 Now, if you search your heart tonight, where are you at? Where are you at? Are you as excited tonight about the Word of God as you've ever been? Or if you're honest with yourself, would you have to say, you know what, Brother Brandon, I'm not where I ought to be. And if I'm just honest, my Bible sits on the shelf too much. The only time I pick it up is when I come to church. And I'm just going through the motions. You say, what do I do? Now listen, I don't have time to go through 1, 2, 3. I didn't want to give a 1, 2, 3 quick fix how-to. Because don't we just live in that generation today? Just tell me how to put a Band-Aid on it, fix it really quick. I don't think you're going to fix it really quick tonight. But I'm going to tell you a good place to start is just to be real with God. And just to realize, you know what? That's a need in my life. I've lost something. The excitement's gone. And I think that if you can get there tonight, and you can realize that you have a need, and not just that, but if you can genuinely be remorseful about it. Whatever happened to just good old-fashioned remorse? I'm sorry because I'm not where I need to be with God.
Amen.
Whatever happened to that in church anymore? Right? So if you could just realize I'm not where I need to be and feel some hurt because of that tonight, I think it'd be a great place to start. Because I don't think we can ever see any true revival or repentance until we first realize that we have a need and just come before God and say, God, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. The manna that you intended to be miraculous, exciting in my life, it's just become mundane. God, I need your help. Father, please help us to search our hearts tonight and to be real with you. And I pray that your will would be done the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.